PromoHomo.tv begins right now. Simulcast on Blog Talk Radio and Facebook Live, which basically means this is a worldwide television show that you can watch from any internet-connected device and you can call in. How cool is that? This show is made possible with the generous support of Desert AIDS Project, Lulu California Bistro, 849 Restaurant and Lounge, and we're a proud media sponsor of the LGBT Community Center of the Desert, Palm Springs Pride, and numerous other organizations and causes. For more about our sponsors and those we support, visit promohomo.tv. And now, on with the snow, show.
On Wednesday, June 1st at the Renaissance Hotel. If you haven't got tickets yet, what are you waiting for? Go to DesertAidsProject.org today.
And that's Evelyn McCann. That's the new public service announcement that was just premiered today. And Stephen Henke, who's in the studio with us. Okay, let me just bring our guests on. We have Steve Coffer and Stephen Henke, co-chairs of Queen of the Desert. Good morning, guys.
Hey, Nicholas.
Good morning, Nicholas.
Welcome to our high-tech extravaganza. It feels very high-tech and low-tech at the same time.
Yes, it does.
Very homey.
How long have each of you been involved with Queen of the Desert? I know, let me ask you first, Stephen, because
sure.
You've been involved for several years, as I think you have too, but what's your history with the event?
Well, I mean, first year, I was just a fan. I came and I enjoyed the show. I had a lot of fun along with everyone else there. And year two, I was invited to be a judge, which was last year, and loved that experience. And I was thrilled. I was really thrilled when they reached out this year and asked if I would co-chair with Steve, because it is one of my favorite events of the year. It's a lot of fun. And I just love the way that the drag queens in this community and perhaps every community continue to show up and show up and show up to build community and to support the charities that matter.
And Steve Coffer, I know from my attendance of the event that your name has been very prominent with this particular event. When have you always been supportive of Queen of the Desert?
Yes, the event was the brainchild of J.P. Allen, who is a staff member at DAP, and he's the one that came up with the idea, and it's been a brilliant idea. It's been embraced by the community, and it's a great fundraiser. It's a significant fundraiser for DAP, yet at the same time, the tickets are really affordable. Everybody can afford to come, and it's gotten great community support.
Now, you are a long-term board member of Desert AIDS Project, a benefiting organization, and before the show, I learned that you have a significant long-term connection with the agency. Would you like to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, despite my young appearance, I've been involved with DAP for a long time. I was on the board for about 10 years in the early days of the organization. The DAP is really a 30-year-old organization, and we were on the forefront of serving the AIDS community in Palm Springs and HIV awareness in the early days. And I became involved early on with the board then. I went off for about 10 years, and I came back on about 6 years ago. So I'm on the board now with a great group of other board members who are really passionate about serving the mission of the DAP, which is to serve our clients.
And I am a grateful client of Desert AIDS Project, and I like to share that a lot. I want to say hello to Joseph Cannon, who says, very proud of you, Mr. Snow. Thank you so much. And I want to reference a video that you're in from last year, Stephen.
Okay.
People can find it if they go to if they go to the Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards Facebook page and they look at the collection of accumulating videos for
yeah.
Queen of the Desert. You were a judge. Was it a judge last year?
Yes, I was.
Okay, and you did this fantastic promo, but there was a surprise at the end. Do you want to share what that surprise
yeah,
was?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. You know, we had to, I think I was the only person doing a video that wasn't a performer, and so I asked Ethelina Can if she would lend me a pair of her shoes. A lot of people don't know, but Miss Can wears about a size 14 women's shoe. And so what we did is after the video promoting the event, I just did a quick tag off, which was, I hear that last year's judges left pretty big shoes to fill. And then they panned down, and I was standing in her shoes, which I was swimming in. and did this little, the best part was me pretending I don't know how to walk in a 6-inch heel. You know, so a little comedic relief. But it was, you know, a lot of fun. It got a lot of views. It got a lot of engagement. And, you know, I hope it sold a few extra tickets.
Well, I loved it. I do have some background information about Queen of the Desert that I want to share with you. So with me on the show, if you're just tuning in, I have to my right Steve Coffer and to his right Stephen Henke. They are the co-chairs of this year's event. Jasmine Simone Echelon will come to the third annual Queen of the Desert stage on Wednesday, June 1st at the Renaissance Palm Springs to defend her lip sync competition crown against, I love drag queen names, Trixie Garnett, Tommy Rose, Pinky Meringue Shimmer, Anita Rose, Mystic B. First Miller, and Sheena Wolf. By the way, I have tagged Tommy and Pinky in this broadcast because I'm friends to them on Facebook. So for the other competitors, if I didn't tag you in the broadcast, it's just because I'm technically unable to do so since we're not friends on Facebook. So add me. Of course, the crown will ultimately be decided by the judging panel of Gypsy of Carnival Cabaret, Dottie Dubois and Maud Chapeau of Les Dames du Soleil, and Delta Work from Season 3 of the smash TV show RuPaul's Drag Race, based on the comedic and high-energy routines performed by each contestant. Ethelina Khan, voted fan favorite in the first competition in 2014, will keep the action moving along as she returns for a second year as the show MC, ably assisted by Bella DeBall as voice of goddess and diva pledge announcer. So I want to say hello to Raphael, and Antonio Lopez has joined in. He says he loves you, Steve. He says we love Steve Coffer from his paid staff.
They're paid to say that.
Yes, they're paid to say that. And we have Tony Materas, who says, that's always a fun event. Who is hosting? And I've just explained who's hosting. By the way, we are live right now for at least the next 10 minutes or so. If you want to call in and talk to us, this is the phone number when we're live. And, of course, you can comment under the video. And Raphael gives us a shout-out and says, hi, I just love the interactivity of Facebook Live. By the way, I think I'm going to be at the edge of the I'm confusing this event with Dancing Under the Desert Stars because they're so similar. They're in the same venue and they have lots of the same excitement. But I'm going to be stage side at Queen of the Desert, I think, live. I'm working on those details.
Well, there is a difference between Queen of the Desert and Dancing with the Desert Stars. The Dancing Desert Stars are real girls. The Queens of the Desert are not. However, they fiercely perform.
Yes,
they are amazing.
They are really, really fantastic.
Yeah.
I'd love to ask each of you, I'm going to start with you, Stephen.
Okay.
What do you think makes Palm Springs such a special and magical place?
I think there's a sense of the valley. It's always been a place where people have come to heal and renew and to find their sort of authentic self. And I think that's been true from the very beginning when people came to take the healing waters. I think it's still true. You know, there's a lot of people that come and live in here in the Coachella Valley because they're part of the recovery community. There's a lot of people that come here because they are caretakers and they want to give back to the community. I mean, the philanthropy in this valley is incredible. You know, we've got, I think, over 500 501(c)s, I've heard, in the Coachella Valley that are supported. Those are active charities doing great work. And all of them require events that are participated in and attended by the very generous community that lives in this valley. So I think we're really unique in the sense that we come here to be our best selves and to help other people do the same.
That's beautifully stated. What would you like to add, Steve, about the special nature of our community?
I totally agree with Stephen. I think that the amazing thing about the Coachella Valley is the generousness of its residents. Whether someone can afford to give $5 or $1 million, they give it and they participate. And I think the Queen of the Desert event is living proof of that. I mean, these contestants are, you know, they're certainly not paid. They're donating all their time. They've gone out of their way to get, you know, their wigs teased to the heavens. They're brand new outfits, and they have been practicing to make this a fabulous event. And that's just, you know, one of the ways that people give to the community and support, you know, the great work of the Desert AIDS Project.
Yeah.
Love that. Love that.
Yeah. And, you know, I think to that point, this is something that, you know, not everyone may know. You know, we're selling tickets to the event. Obviously, we want...
There's only like 50 left.
There's like
today.
There's about 50 tickets left. About 50 tickets left. And, you know, to go on DesertAidsProject.org, if you don't already have your ticket, please do. But if you don't make it, if for whatever reason the tickets sell out, you can support these queens that have been doing so much work by still going on DesertAidsProject.org and voting for your fan favorite. So whether that's a dollar per person or $5 or $100 to your favorite queen, all of those dollars add up to one vote each, and that's what's going to decide the fan favorite. And I was told when I was talking to Ethelina that fan favorite is as coveted a title as Queen of the Desert because it denotes who has raised the most money that evening for Desert AIDS Project.
You know, that's a good point to make to our viewers, because if you are feeling philanthropic, say that three times fast. Feeling philanthropic. And wherever you are in the world, you can go to DesertAIDSProject.org and look at find the Queen of the Desert competition, research the contestants, and vote. Someone out there and from a completely different place could decide who wins that fan favorite, you know, powerful stuff.
And there's no limit to the number of times you can vote or the number of dollars you can give
it's
to your
like
fan favorite.
You can vote as many times as you want. you know, what I think is great is that that's the real plus about this event is the girls are raising the money. I mean, they've been working hard. They've been out in the community. They've been talking up their fans, and we have money already for fan favorites because they've been working really hard because they understand the meaning of the event and they want to make it a success.
Yeah.
You know, in the early days of LGBT civil rights, when I was coming out in the early 80s, I'm dating myself, I remember lots of criticism by people that like to consider themselves mainstream gays. And they were saying, well, why do we need the drag queens in the parade? And I just am really excited that the kind of drag phobia and that our community is embracing more diversity. And frankly, we wouldn't be where we are if it weren't for the drag queen participation at the Stonewall riots and everything else. And
no. And Palm Springs wouldn't be the community it is without Bella DeBall. You know, I don't think there's any way to overestimate the contributions that she has made to this community. I mean, every event we go to, if it's an important event, Bella's there supporting it. He's supporting this event. Brian is as Bella. And it makes for a great night. But I think more importantly, what these queens do, I mean, at the very essence what a drag queen does is they sort of wrap their very glamorous arms around the community and pull us all in and make us feel part of and make us feel welcome and make us feel happy. And for that evening of Queen of the Desert, we're all at the party together and celebrating, you know, everything that they were doing and everything that we've done together. So that's part of why I think what makes Palm Springs very special is almost every major event has an element of where there's a drag performer or attendee, making that event a little bit more fabulous.
And I have a tremendous admiration for drag queens because I tried it once, and I was not a pretty woman. I was Miss Florida after the hurricane, so you know it wasn't pretty. But and the other, you know, the other superstars in our drag community are Dottie and Maude, the La Dames du Soleil. Those individuals have raised so much money, you know.
Over $1 million.
Well over $1.5 million for the Desert AIDS Project and other charities. And, you know, they just are tireless. They just are amazing people. And, you know, they're a part of this event. They've been a part of this event since the very beginning. In fact, you know, when we looked at starting this event, we consulted with Dottie and Maude and their Douglas and Marshall, their real names, and they were very, very helpful in getting this set up and getting it launched.
They're really wonderful people. I just want to check in. Pat says, I need press credentials. Email me. So, Pat, you want to contact DesertAIDSProject.org. Actually, email B. Dayton. Barry Dayton, bdayton@desertaidsproject.org for press credentials for any DAP event. That's where you make your request. You know, Tony mentions it sounds like just as many drag queens there as DragCon. And that's a great topic because I actually went to DragCon and I did live broadcast. And one of the interviews I did before the gates opened on the first day was with a 12-year-old boy named Julian who was attending DragCon with his mother.
Hmm.
It's a very powerful interview available at promohomo.tv. And when Mike Thompson, executive director of the LGBT Center, was on my show earlier in the week, one of the things I said to him was that it's really profound that the world that we live in would allow a 12-year-old and his mom to be at that event together in a loving, supportive environment. And what this little boy's young man at the age of 12, when you listen to him talk, says and delivers, it's just filled with love and self-acceptance and self-expression, and it's really powerful. I'd love for each of you to remark on what you think about the changing world that we're in and how far it's come.
Well, it is amazing. But, you know, unfortunately, I think people still face prejudices. We're going through this now with the issue of the transgender bathrooms and gender-neutral bathrooms, and that event is, or that topic has brought up some really good support and has also shown that there's still a lot of work to be done because there's still a lot of hatred out in the community against transgender people and gay and lesbian people. What would you like to add?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in North Dakota, and so, you know, my perspective, my worldview was very much shaped by, you know, being a young gay man living, you know, on a prairie, essentially, and not having the type of support that that younger LGBT community members have today. You know, we were at the Harvey Milk event earlier this month, and I was in tears. I was so moved, you know, when these young people, 160 plus of them, walked into the space and filled it with their incredible optimism and their community. And I was moved again when one of the young people, a trans person, got up and told their story and was embraced with a standing ovation. You know, the fact that, yes, I mean, incredible story. And, you know, that room was filled with business leaders, political leaders. Desert AIDS Project obviously had a table there. And we all came together because we wanted to show them that we still believe in that message of hope that Harvey Milk told us. You've got to give them hope. I think that's what's changed. And through social media, through your show, that opportunity for young people to reach out and tap in and listen to what's being talked about today and know that they absolutely have the support of, you know, despite what they might see in politics, despite what they might see in opposition, that there is an incredible outpouring of support and love all around the world for what they're doing.
As I check in to see if we have other remarks, Kevin Maloney joined. You know, Kevin is a fantastic HIV/AIDS activist. I don't know if you've seen me wear a T-shirt, if you've seen online the T-shirt that says "No Shame About Being HIV Positive." He's the mastermind behind that campaign, and it's really powerful.
Yeah.
And so I want to thank you for tuning in, Kevin. I'd love for you to each talk about your view of Desert AIDS Project. You as a community member, as an advocate, as someone who's involved in media, you as a board member and also a member of the community, what do you think, what impresses, let's start with you, Steve Henke.
Sure.
What do you think, what impresses you the most about Desert AIDS Project?
I mean, it would be a better question to say what doesn't impress me. I remember the first time that I was lucky enough to go on a tour of the facility, and the CEO, David Brinkman, led that tour. And I thought, you know, I was a, you know, I had signed up to be a partner for life, and, you know, my husband and I had attended events and felt that strength of community that DAP puts into all of their fundraising activities. But I had no idea. I had no idea the thoughtfulness and the mindfulness that they had put into constructing the facility for their clients and patients. That they had looked at the whole picture, you know, from the apartments that we're sitting in right now to the dental clinic to the mental health wellness center, you know, the back to work program, you know, even the activity that Pinky's involved with quilting. You know, there's so many opportunities for wellness and health in that building, and it's all connected, and it's so easy for clients and patients of Desert AIDS Project to receive the care that they need to live and thrive in this community. And I'm profoundly moved. I've been on that tour now 3 times. I never leave that tour without absolutely recommitting at the heart of my soul to what DAP is doing in this community for health and wellness.
Well, Nicholas, when I think back to the old days, the early days of the organization, of all AIDS organizations, we were an organization that helped people die. I mean, people came to us in the late stages of their disease. They were clients for a very short time, and we helped them die. And I was talking to a volunteer a few weeks ago that was there before I was, and he was in the old facility, and he gave me the story about how he would call, you know, the patients would be dying, and he'd call the families, and sometimes the families would hang up on him, and they didn't want any part of it. So we look now to our what we do now, and people have a full life expectancy. As Stephen said, every service, we are a medical home to about 2,600 people that receive full-time medical care from a fantastic group of primary care doctors, infectious disease doctors, and AIDS specialists. Our health clinic is second to none in terms of the services and medical services, dental services, and for our clients, we provide, through the generosity of many community supporters, acupuncture, massage services, all of these services that make people's lives so much better. And the job placement service has been fantastic. It's been so successful with Valerio, one of the DAP staff members running that program, and we've been able to get our clients back to work, those that want to go back to work, give them new skills, give them involvement in the community. It's been amazing. So I look back at the old days, and I see what we do now, and it's just phenomenal. And all of that is due to community support. You know, our government grants have, you know, dwindled over the years, so community support is really very, very important. It's very, very important. And community events like this are extremely important to help raise money.
Certainly. Did you want to add something? I asked both of you first because now I can say what Desert AIDS Project means to me. As these gentlemen know, I'm a client of Desert AIDS Project, and I like to say truthfully that I'm alive today because of Desert AIDS Project. I became HIV positive through a rare slip in my safer sex behavior in 2007. I was living abroad as a self-employed foreign correspondent with no health insurance, and I ultimately made it a decision to return to Palm Springs to rebuild my life and to become a client of Desert AIDS Project. About 8 months later, I was able to move into a studio apartment in the Vista Sunrise Apartments, where we are right now. Not that studio, but in this apartment complex. And my podcast was launched 3 months after that, and it's reached 2 million people, and virtually every episode mentions Desert AIDS Project. I walk across the parking lot to see my doctor, to see my counselor, to go to periodic luncheons where we're educated and informed. I go to the dental clinic, and I go over there in my professional capacity as a media person to work closely with the team to continue to share the good work of Desert AIDS Project. And I like to say that I'm living powerfully with HIV, specifically and directly because of people like you and organizations like DAP.
That matters. That's the big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the proof is in the pudding. We got serious for a moment, but
we got a little cheery for a moment.
Yes. And I want to say basically what I was saying is I'm alive because of you.
That's a wonderful story, and fortunately, it's a story that we hear over and over again. I mean, the care makes a difference in people's lives. So I do get teary-eyed because, you know, that's what we all are there for.
You know, just as for an editorial comment that I want to share with other clients of Desert AIDS Project, your feelings are valid, and if you're experiencing a frustration or a fear when you're accessing care, I acknowledge that, and I want you to own it. But when you sometimes get frustrated with an issue that you might end up having, as anyone could have with a big organization such as Desert AIDS Project, what I want to share from my perspective, having engaged with HIV/AIDS care delivery services around the world, is that in my experience, Desert AIDS Project is one of the world's finest HIV/AIDS service organizations, And even though I am sometimes frustrated with dealing with an organization that's going through immense growth and change, I remember that I could not be at a better place anywhere in the world. And it's just astounding to me that DAP delivers what it delivers to so many people and that there's so much love.
Thank you. You know, one of the things that we did, the board meets every 2 years to do strategic planning because it's really important as the disease and the everything changes, we want to make sure that we're staying current. And one of the things that came out of our last board retreat and strategic planning process was the desire to make sure that our clients are getting the best care. And if they do have a frustration or something isn't going right, as you say, it happens in any large organization. So the board recommended the establishment of a patient care officer. So to ensure that if someone has a problem, that there's a person they can go directly to, Michael Mueller, and he can look at all the issues, he can find out what's going on and get to the bottom of it and get it corrected and help every client that needs that help. So we've really streamlined the process. You don't have to go to a bunch of different people. There's one person, the client experience officer, to make sure that you're getting the care that you want. And if there's an experience that isn't proper that you want to talk about, he's there to help you resolve it.
They're fantastic. You know, I also neglected to mention that I participated in the Back to Work program that Valerio Iovino championed. And because I was self-employed, but I needed to get additional employment. And I went to weekly trainings. He helped me update my resume. He coached me because it can be depressing when you're trying to earn more money and you don't quite know how to do it. And I also want to acknowledge the chairperson of the board of directors of Desert Age Project, Barbara Keller, because Barbara and Jerry have been longtime sponsors of my work. And the job I ultimately ended up getting is at 849 Restaurant and Lounge. They're also incredibly involved in the community. We take care of each other here.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
So as we wrap up the show, what would you like to recap about Queen of the Desert on June 1st?
Well, hurry, because there are only about 50 seats left. DesertAidsProject.org. Now, if we do run out of seats, we may, Stephen, start selling the laps of other patrons. So,
okay.
And that might be a higher price ticket, but we'll work on that as we get to the end. So
the revenue just went way up for that event. It was already going to be high, at least $30,000.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say, you know, today's the day. Go online, DesertAidsProject.org, get your tickets because it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a huge party. It starts at 6 p.m. with a cocktail party where you can mix and mingle, make new friends, reconnect with old friends, and then the show starts at 7. And go online even if you can't go. If you've got another commitment, and I know this is a very busy valley, go online to DesertAidsProject.org and vote for your fan favorite. If you can't go to the event, at least support one of the queens that are working so hard to make that night fun and to make this community a better place to live.
I love that. I love that. And I want to thank you all for listening. Before I let you go, though, I want to explain to my guests technically how I'm broadcasting this show, because I know a lot of you have been wondering, and Tony specifically asked a question. So it's being simulcast on Facebook Live and Blog Talk Radio. In front of me, I have a laptop. The laptop is being used. This is being used simply to give me control of my online studio. With Blog Talk Radio. I wouldn't need to use it unless I wanted to be able to take viewer call-ins. That's why I'm connected here. I'm broadcasting on Facebook Live Video, but the same phone, the phone function of this, has been used to call into the Blog Talk Radio and activate it. I have two external microphones plugged into my Samsung Galaxy Note 4. I'm wearing one of them, and they're sharing the other, and I have a pair of external speakers plugged into my phone as well, which allows us to hear in the room callers who call in and the audio that's generated by the Blog Talk Radio platform. And that's basically how it's happening. Interestingly, my home internet connection was having a problem today. So I turned on the hotspot feature of my phone, and that's how I'm operating my laptop. So basically, the phone is delivering the Wi-Fi, the phone is delivering the Facebook feed, and the phone is delivering the functionality of dialing on the phone into Blog Talk Radio, and it's just astounding. So I wanted to talk to you about that at the end of this really powerful show, which is as significant in terms of content as you would see on television.
Yeah. Well, what's amazing is 20 years ago, this would have taken a $2 million satellite truck parked outside and cabled into your studio to get this done, and now we can do it all on a cell phone and internet connection. It's amazing.
It's very fun. I want to thank you for being on my first week of daily live programming.
You know, Nicholas, thank you, because we do, you know, we're friends, but we also watch your show, and I think there's a great power in storytelling, but there's an even greater power in the ability to be a story listener, and thank you for making that possible for the entire world.
Oh, thank you. At the end of my public access show in the 1990s, which I had for 7 years, called Tinseltown Square, I went from being Tinseltown Square to the world's promo homo. But I would always end my show by saying, express the truth of your life to the people whom you influence, because silence does equal death, and action does equal life. So that's how I'd like to wrap it up, and I want to thank you guys for being
thank
on
you,
the
Nick.
Show. And I do have some fun outro audio, so let's put the microphone near the speaker. And this is how the show wraps up for today.
For all of our upcoming programs, social media links, and a link to all of our advertisers, visit promohomo.tv. Until next time, I'm Nicholas Snow.